Turning to Hebrews chapter 11, as we have begun studying those elders who obtained a good report that are spoken of in verse 2, we now have started in verse 4, and we've been studying these elders who obtained a good report. And how did they obtain that good report? By faith. And so if they can do it, we can do it. If they obtained a good report through faith, we should be able to obtain a good report through faith. And the truth is, whether we think it or not, we probably have a better time to live than what they did as far as things that were going on around them. It was not easy for them to exercise faith. In fact, when you look at these first four individuals that we've looked at three, we're looking at the fourth tonight, as you look at them, one truth stands out. When they were exercising their faith, they were probably standing alone. When Abel exercised his faith and obeyed God in respect to offerings that should be offered, and he worshiped God by faith, more than likely, apart from maybe his parents, he was standing alone. And when we look at Enoch, what was different about Enoch than all of those around him? He walked with God and pleased God. And Noah, now we know there were at least seven others that stood with Noah, but Noah virtually was all alone when he was a witness for God. And how did he witness for God? By faithfully obeying God and building an ark. And so we saw in Abel his worship by faith. We saw Enoch his walk by faith. And we saw Noah his witness by faith. And I've run out of alliteration now, so we'll go to a different something about Abraham tonight. But let's start at verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Then I want you to skip down to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. It was interesting, while we were in Israel, when we were visiting the city of Joppa, or Jaffa, we went to the highest little hill in the city. And it's a park today, and in the middle of this park, they have built a structure. It's a sculpture. It's an arch. It has two posts and then a top post on it. And that arch, I had not learned all of about that arch, and so this week I went online and found some more information about that arch. And it has a name. It's called the Gate of Faith. That was kind of an interesting name to call it, the Gate of Faith. And it has on one pillar, it has Abraham and Isaac. And on that pillar, it also has a ram. And so it's giving us the story of Abraham offering up Isaac, and then God, of course, provided a ram. And they're all carved on this pillar. The other pillar on the other side has Jacob, and it has kind of a ladder with an angel figure there. And so that's supposed to represent Jacob's dream. And then across the top, it has seven or eight men who have a ram's horn in their hand, and on the other side of the same piece, you look, and they have some of the men in the middle carrying what looks like a box on poles between them. And that is the story of Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. And as they were marching around, and then they blew the trumpets, and they said all of these men were men who had faith, and all of their faith was in connection with land that God promised to them. Abraham and Isaac, Jacob received the same promise, and then Joshua was the one who actually saw that promise start to come to fruition as he took the children of Israel into the land of Israel. And so here we have the life of Abraham, and some of the story that we're going to look at, probably not tonight, probably in a couple of weeks now, we will see that three events were picked in the life of Abraham here. Just three events out of all the events that happened in Abraham's life, only three of them are used in this passage. We read about them. What was the event found in Hebrews 11, verse 8? His obedience to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to the land. What was the event found in verse 9? It's connected, but it's a separate thing. He sojourned. In other words, he did not become a permanent dweller in that land, because the whole time that Abraham was there, he lived in a tent, and he moved the tent, and he was a sojourner. And then what was the event in verse 17? Offering up of Isaac. So these three events, his call, his sojourning, and his trial, this event was a trial for him, those three things compose the three events that God wants to use to demonstrate to these born-again believers, these Jewish believers here that he's writing to in Hebrews, and to illustrate that they should stand fast in the midst of trials and difficulties and not turn back. And so Abraham was called to a life of dependence upon God. That's what he had to do when he came into that land. He had to depend on God. But he was also called to a life of turning his back on family ties and turning his back on social position and turning his back on worldly affections, because he had to leave Ur of the Chaldees. Have you ever met someone who did not come from a strong Christian background, and they got saved, and after they got saved, some of their family began to shun them perhaps a little bit, wouldn't have any, and they had this testimony later that in the life of in their experience, that they had stronger ties with some other Christian believers than they now even had with their own family. And it's kind of sad to say that sometimes, but that happens in lives where one person gets saved and then the rest of the family does not really appreciate their testimony and their faith. And so they become closer to other Christian brothers and sisters in Christ than perhaps they are to some of their own family. Well, Abraham had to say no to his family background, to his hometown. He had to say no to everything that he was used to, and leave that, perhaps even in his social position in the land of the Chaldees. And he was called to live a life as a pilgrim now. And as he was called to live this life as a pilgrim, that had its hardships, that had its coming and living in the midst of a lawless and godless people, the Canaanites. He left a life of ease and security with his own people and his own country, and now he had to come and live this life as a pilgrim, sojourning in the land. And he is living out what Christ prayed for us in John. What did he say? I pray that they would be in the world, but not of the world. And that's what he called Abraham to do in this new land. And Abraham then showed these Hebrew believers that in heaven they have a better and enduring substance. Look at chapter 10, verse 34. Says, for ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. And Abraham was an example of that. Abraham was one who showed them that, yes, I believe, because it says later that he looked for a city, what? Whose founder and builder was God. He was looking for a heavenly city. And so this verse says, have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So all kinds of choruses come to mind. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And all kinds of, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land. There's all kinds of songs that have been written to, again, let us know and be encouraged to do that same thing, to consider ourselves to be pilgrims. And so as we look at these events in the life of Abraham, Abraham in his testimony is going to show how he was living a faithful life of obedience. Because what's the key word right in the two-thirds of the way through verse 8? By faith, Abraham, and take out everything until you get down after the next comma. What? By faith, Abraham obeyed. That if you take out that internal part of the sentence there, by faith Abraham obeyed. And so this is faith obedience. We have faith worship, faith walk, faith witness, and now we have in the life of Abraham faith obedience. And we have looked at this first group, and we're leaving this first group of Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And now we are going to be looking at four sets of pairs. I want you to find them for me, just so you all stay with me tonight. Who's the first set of pairs that we come to now as we're studying these who are elders who obtained a good report, and they're the ones who are an example now of living that life of faith? Who's the first pair? Abraham and Sarah, because Sarah's mentioned. We'll come to her when we get down to verse 11. So we have Abraham and Sarah. This is faith's obedience and faith's conclusion. Sarah was the conclusion. She believed God, and what was the conclusion? She got a son. And then who's the next pair? Isaac and Jacob. And what was the relationship of Isaac and Jacob? Father, son again. And so we have Isaac and Jacob. And Isaac is a picture of faith overcoming the will of the flesh. Faith overcoming the will of the flesh. And then with Jacob, he's a picture of faith overcoming the will of man. And then we have a third group of pairs. And who's that? Well, it kind of skips over Joseph here a little bit. It goes to Moses' parents and then Moses. And so we have Moses' parents overcoming the fear of man, and we have Moses overcoming the praise of man. And we're going to be looking at all of these individually as we move along, but we have all of these groups and these pairs that are going to demonstrate how we ought to walk by faith. Now let's examine some of these first three things mentioned about Abraham concerning his faith. What was the first thing in verse 8? His call. His call. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. This is his call. Now, typically, if we go back to an Old Testament event, where do we turn when we see this call? Most typically, we say Genesis chapter 12. Let's turn there. And let's see if this is really when Abraham got his call and obeyed his call. So Genesis chapter 12. Now, when we come to verse 1 of chapter 12, if we kept this in its chronological sequence here, where is Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1? Look closely. Where is he at the end of verse of chapter 11? Haran. And where is Haran? Well, it's, just if you don't look at a map, it's partway. Let's just say that. It's partway from Ur of the Chaldees. And he came partway, but he hadn't gone all the way yet. So when we come to chapter 12, verse 1, Abraham is already partly on the journey. So is that when he got the call? Well, no, we would know that it had to be earlier than that, or why would he have made this part of the journey so far? And so what I want us to answer here in the next few moments is, when did he receive this call? And how does that fit into the narrative if it wasn't Genesis 12:1? That passage right in my Bible is called Abraham's call, you know. But perhaps not chronologically did it happen here. Again, just for your study information, how do we have books divided up for us in our study? How are books of the Bible divided for us to study? Chapters, verses. So we have them divided up. And how many chapters are there in the book of Genesis? 50. All right, so there's 50 chapters. And so we divide it up by chapters and sometimes by people's lives. How do you think the Spirit of God may have divided up the book of Genesis? Well, I believe that when it was really first given, it was 12 different sections. Because you know the verses and chapters were not in the original manuscripts. You all know that, don't you? And so they were put in later by editors to help us find things. But there are 12 distinct sections to the book of Genesis. And the first section is kind of an introduction section, but then all 11 other sections start with the same word. Starts with the generations of. So you have a section that starts with the generations of, and that's one section. Then you have a second section that starts with the generations of, and that's and you go right on down through, and there's 11 of those. So with the introduction, and then 11, the generations of, you have 12 different sections to the book of Genesis. Again, we have time tonight. Find the first one, and I'll give you a hint. It's in chapter 2. All right? So find the first section. Well, it's the first section after the introductory section. Find it for me. Verse 4, right? And it says there, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth. So, these are the generations of, is that phrase. Then let's find the second one. Go to chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. Go to chapter 6, verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Go to 11, 1. Nope, it's not 11, 1. 10. Yes, 10. These are the generations of Shem. Actually, you have one before that. Verse 32, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generation. So you have the generations of the families of the son of Noah, starting in verse 32, and then you go from there. So verse 10 of chapter 11 is one. And then when you come to 11:27, who do you have? These are the generations of Terah. Now, here we have Abraham. We're looking at Abraham's faith. It's a little bit strange that we do not have a verse that says, now these are the generations of Abraham. I'm not a huge one that goes into biblical numerics, because I think some people go a little overboard there. They try to find some significance in every number, and I don't think we have to look quite that hard. But so we have, at least there are some interesting numerics going on here. When we studied Enoch was what from the generation of Adam? Seventh. He was seventh in a generation from Adam. Now, we do believe that the number seven definitely has some special significance when it comes to perfection. Seven seems to be a number of perfection. And so we have Enoch as an example of a man who walked by faith, and he was the seventh from Adam. Now, when we come to Terah, and the generation of Terah, who was the father of Abraham, if you counted, we had section number one was the introduction, and then you had six sections, and at the beginning of this generations of Terah, that was the seventh section again in the book of Genesis that started with these phrases, now these are the generations of. So something took place a little ahead of the generation of Abraham. It took place in the generation of Terah, his father. And where was Terah in chapter 11, verse 27? Where was he? Still in Ur of the Chaldees with Abraham. And so that's where they started. We have to put together a little puzzle here tonight. What question are we trying to answer? Exactly where was Abraham when he received this call that he obeyed? Where was he? Well, we know from our own biblical knowledge that he was in Ur of the Chaldees. But let's find that and nail it down. Go over to Acts chapter 7. We're going to do 4 or 5 passages here that will give us some clues as to this call and when it happened and where it happened and why it happened. Acts chapter 7, verse 2. And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in," and we see here, Charan. But what is that? Haran. That's the same city, Haran, that's in Genesis. And so it's, when did, according to this verse, God appear to Abraham? When he was still in Mesopotamia. When he was still, before he came and even dwelt in Haran or Charan. And then let's go to Joshua 24. Old Testament, Joshua 24. Last chapter in the book of Joshua. And we read there in verse 2, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Teran, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And then look at verse 14, same chapter. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now, in all of this passage, we read at least three times in here, the other side of the flood. The other side of the flood, is that talking about Noah's flood? No, it's not talking about Noah's flood. So what is the other side of the flood? It's a picturesque description of the Euphrates River. And was known to oftentimes flood. And so when it said the other side of the flood, it's talking about the time when Abraham was still in Ur of the Chaldees on the other side of the river Euphrates, which here was called the flood. But I want you to notice a couple of things before we leave this passage in Joshua 24. Notice who did what in verse 3, and who took your father Abraham? God did. That the I is God. And in verse 4, who is the I that gave Isaac and Jacob and Esau, gave that unto them? That's God. And who is it that was in verse 5, I sent Moses, and I plagued Egypt? And verse 6, I brought your fathers out of Egypt. I missed one in there. It didn't actually have the word I in front of it, but back in verse 3, and I led him throughout all the land of Canaan is understood there. It says, I took him and I led him and I gave him. Let me ask you a very important question here. All of this was done by God, and it was all by God's grace. We have to understand that we have a picture of election here, that God did it all. He chose Abraham. He took Abraham. He led Abraham. He gave Abraham everything. This was all of God. And we have to make sure we understand that salvation, like this call to Abraham, is all of God. And it's what God does. So we definitely have seen where this took place and when. Where did it take place? The call? The other side of the flood in Mesopotamia, Ur of the Chaldees. And now, when did it happen? Well, you say, well, before he left. Well, no, that's not the answer I'm looking for. When did it happen? Let me suggest something. The call came first. Then he believed and obeyed. He believed God based upon the call that God gave. You know, a lot of times, and I'm not trying to overly push a point tonight, but a lot of times people say in this whole election process of salvation that God saw their faith, that they were going to believe, so he called them. Well, no, if we follow this example, we see God doing the calling first and then they doing the believing second. And he didn't base that upon their belief because Abraham hadn't even believed yet. And so, again, just that wonderful picture that this is all from God. And now go to Nehemiah chapter 9. Maybe you didn't realize that God says so much about Abraham in other books of the Bible. And Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 7. Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abraham, and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous. And so, again, Nehemiah is reminding that God called Abraham out of where? Ur of the Chaldees. And so let's go back to Hebrews 11 and 12. Back to our original passage in Hebrews 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 11. But I want to look at something in chapter 10 and 11. All right, now, let's read Hebrews 11:8 again. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. We saw in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 31, it says, and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. We don't know exactly all of the details. We can only surmise, but we don't know all the details of exactly why they stopped. Some have suggested that maybe Abraham had a lapse of faith and wasn't. It appears that the reason he stopped was in connection with whom? His father. All right. And we read especially in verse 5 of chapter 12, and Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they'd gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And again, all this takes place after the death of Terah. So why did Terah... Was it Terah who was called and he took Abram, or was it Abram who called and he took Terah? Well, again, because of the honor that they gave to parents, they still let Terah be the leader. And he took Abram and went on the journey. But in reality, it was God who called Abram to leave, and he shared that with Terah, and Terah must have believed as well to at least begin the journey. Now let's go back to our original question. And I think we have a kind of twofold answer here, because when we come to Genesis 11:31, and it says, and Terah took Abram his son, And then they begin the journey. And then verse 12, now the Lord God had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto land I'll show thee. This call, really the answer is that Genesis 12:1 was just a rehearsing of that call as they were obeying and coming into the land. And so what event are we seeing now that is an example of faith for Abraham to encourage us to be men and women of faith? It was faith's obedience. And how do we apply that to our lives? Well, we do so by ourselves exercising obedience. Obedience to what? To God's call upon our lives. And what's his first call in our lives? It's the call of salvation. And so the first call in our lives that God gives us is the call to salvation. And in the New Testament, that was often called a mystery. So it was obedience to a mystery. Now, again, Abraham was going unto a land, and we are told that he knew not. Well, we've been called to a life of faith, and sometimes that involves something that we can't see. We don't understand. We don't fully appreciate that call. But what should we do? We should obey by faith. Let's go back and close tonight in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. So having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Go to chapter 3, verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Still speaking about that same mystery. Verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. What's that mystery? Well, as you look further into the book of Ephesians, we know exactly what that mystery is. It's described for us in, again, back in chapter 2 of Ephesians. And it says, for he is our peace, verse 14, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. What was the mystery? That Jesus Christ would die, and following his death, both Jew and Gentile would be brought into one body called the church. And so, by faith, we are obedient to the call of God as he calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light, as he calls us who are strangers and pilgrims now to become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, as he calls us to join together in one body called the church. That's the mystery, that we by faith have obeyed that call. So just like Abraham, who had a call, and he obeyed, not knowing whither he went. We too have heard the call, and we have obeyed, and I trust we are journeying as pilgrims, just like Abraham did. He was a sojourner in the land of Canaan, and one day we are going to step over into that heavenly land that we can't presently see today. So, like Abraham, let's set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth, because he looked for a city whose builder and founder was God. May God give us that kind of faith tonight. Let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you for this wonderful example of Abraham. In the book of Romans, we learned that Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And so we would follow the example of Abraham's faith and we would be obedient. And the first step was obedient when he left Ur of the Chaldees. And then he was obedient when he sojourned, and he was obedient when he was tried and he offered up Isaac. So help us in the same way tonight to be obedient unto our God, living for him, pleasing him in all we do and say. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.